personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
Happy Sunday. We're actually starting off with just not Lauren Lieb and Andrew Lieb welcoming you to the show, but Mr. Mordechai Yankovich. Morty Yankovich is with us as well because we have such an important topic to discuss today. We want to discuss substantive due process rights to personal liberty. Freedom versus public health. Why? Because we got Moderna. We got Pfizer. We got vaccines coming out 95% effective. I read that Pfizer submitting like yesterday, today, tomorrow, one of these days, we got it for emergency use of vaccinations. As I mentioned last week, I have to go to the Bahamas, so this has got to go chop, 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 chop. I will say, Lauren, though, before we even get into the discussion, a European official from the WHO, that's the World Health Organization, has already said that if you don't like lockdowns, like, I don't know if you know, New York City schools lockdown this past week, like we're seeing Chicago on, I think it's a suggestive lockdown. They didn't say it's mandatory, but they said suggestive. But the WHO said if 95% of people wore masks instead of the current 60% of people, lockdowns would not be needed.
Yes, but the masks make people have no freedom.
Yeah, well, that's the issue. The whole issue is, and I think I've boiled down this whole issue of politics too. I think Republicans generally are more for liberty, and I think Democrats generally are more for societal control. And I think that battle is where everything manifests. And I'm going to show you that into this conversation today because I'm going to look back to the early 1900s when smallpox was the issue. And I'm going to really go there. But before we get started, Morty, I have something.
Yes, Andrew.
I have something I need your complete expertise for before we get started. Because
go ahead.
I consider you to be a gem among men. You understand what's right, what's wrong. You understand the law. And I want to know what you think the protocol is if your wife wakes up before you by way of an alarm to work out.
Really, Andrew?
Yeah, so seriously. And she has this thing on, like, say volumes goes 0 to 10, it's like a 12. The thing goes beep, beep. It's like, I don't even know what crackhead time in the morning it was.
Except if it was a little song on my alarm.
Song, come on. Like, I'm still...
I'm trying to anticipate how this has anything to do with vaccines, but I'm not getting there yet. Go ahead.
I'm just telling you, I'm still twitching this morning, Morty. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to go on the radio and do this podcast, the Liebcast, where we talk about how current events are affecting business and real estate. I don't know how we're going to talk about this vaccine, how employers are going to deal with it, how schools are going to deal with it, how the state's going to deal with it. I don't know how we're going to discuss the federal government because I'm still, all I keep hearing is beep, beep. So here's the question I want to know. If your spouse wakes up before you do and they need an earlier alarm, particularly if it's not for work-related, I'm going to give a little more leeway if it's going to be work-related, but if it's leisure-related, like Lauren needs an hour or two before I wake up.
I like the Peloton, and that's the time of day I go on my bike ride.
She's a liar, though, Morty. She wakes up an hour before the Peloton to have coffee to adjust.
You have coffee to take the Peloton ride.
Andrew, it's not the initial alarm that would annoy me the most. It's the snooze. I hate the snooze button.
So she doesn't snooze in her defense. Although I will say, Lauren, I will give you an accolade. Usually I was trying to give you a demerit here, but Morty's right, and we have to be fair and balanced. You know, what is that? Foxes try to be fair and we're fair and balanced too. You didn't use the snooze, so you get an accolade for that, but you get a demerit because why couldn't she put on some nice, soft music, some beautiful music, some sweet music for me to wake up to. Instead, I hear beep, beep.
What kind of music would you like me to have?
I don't know. Some nice, like, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, maybe a little Dave Matthews. I would deal with some Fish. I don't know, something, like, sweet and nice. I would love something soft and easy to me. So, maybe a song like Puff the Magic Dragon would have got me going. Like, this, like, beep. Like, I thought we were a nuclear holocaust, Morty.
The problem with that, Andrew, is that if it's a nice, soothing song, Lauren might not shut off that alarm. If it's a beep, 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 it's going to be a second. Lauren's going to be annoyed just like you are, and she's going to want to shut it off.
So what do you think? Do you think Eleanor Roosevelt was right that the secret to happy marriage is separate homes? Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to keep, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. Like, is there a time where we're allowed to have gentler songs? Or maybe she should have to sleep with her AirPods. What do you think about that? Make her sleep with the AirPods. We could glue them in. And you sleep with the AirPods. I think that's the solution. You sleep with the AirPods and then you hear, I don't know, Morty. But more importantly, because after all, Lauren, and you asked me how does this affect vaccines, Lauren's all into the individual right. The substantive due process right.
Set my alarm the time I want.
Yeah, she wants her individual liberty. She doesn't care how it affects other people. That's what she's trying to say here. She's
so
all about
Lauren.
An
hour less of sleep.
It's not the hour less. It's how I get rocked awake. Like I'm fine with waking up at that hour. It's the abruptness of I was in a great dream. Huh. Morty, I want you to know that there was this truck that you told me about. What was the name of this truck? This food truck that you went to last night.
A Wandering Q?
Yeah, Wandering Q. So Morty showed me this picture of a pastrami sandwich from Wandering Q. I was eating
brisket.
I was in my dream, Morty. I was crunching on it because it had the beautiful crunchies in it. Oh, it was so good. And then all I heard was beep, beep. So I want you to know that this individual liberty thing, I think that that might be an issue that Lauren thinks she has too many rights to in... You know, it's about the public at overall, and we need a society where people could eat from the Wandering queue in their dreams without being woken up by their spouse's alarm.
Listen, if you told me right now that if my alarm was going off was going to affect all the sleep of everybody in the world, then I might shut my alarm off.
All right, well, let's talk about what's going to affect people.
But you're okay if you just affect poor Andrew.
See, yeah. That's why I always go to Morty. Do you see how he pointed out that I matter? I do matter. Morty, I'm still doing what you told me to do, Morty. Every morning I look in the mirror. Morty told me to do this. And I say, I do matter no matter what Lauren does with her alarm. And I've been saying that three times and it's helped my self-esteem.
Well, I have a solution. Go to sleep an hour earlier.
Morty, I don't know, man. I don't know. So let's talk about what actually matters to everyone, though, is that we have two vaccines, both stage three. In the trials. And we have Moderna and we have Pfizer and BioNTech. We pointed out last week that it's not just Pfizer, it's BioNTech too. And did you see these two brothers that own BioNTech? I think they got like $4 billion each. We're completely in the wrong industry, Morty. Lawyers, it was stupid. We should have looked for a global pandemic and created a vaccine to solve it. I think that's like the future of business.
Or invested in it.
Oh, I'm telling you. Do you see how rich they were? Although you said invest in it, and I just read an article, is it a good idea to invest in Pfizer, given that Moderna came out with a vaccine? And I don't know if you've seen the differences. After Moderna said they were at 95%, Pfizer adjusted, and they're like, yeah, we're 95% too. But the big difference is that Moderna's vaccine can be in normal refrigeration for, I think it's like 30 days.
30 days.
Yeah, whereas Pfizer's has to have special refrigeration. And according to the government rollout of the vaccines, they're planning on not just having it in hospitals, but in all the different pharmacies around to get it available. And there's going to be an issue, I think, with Pfizer's vaccine. Because Pfizer's vaccine has this refrigeration issue. So the question was, if you invest in Pfizer and then Moderna steps it up because they have a better transportation of their vaccine, was Pfizer a good investment or am I going to lose my shirt? Like, I'm not a stock guy. I'm not a finance guy. I did take some finance courses when I went to business school in college. But I got to tell you, it's a little scary. Which one do you invest? Because we heard about Moderna. We heard about Pfizer and BioNTech. But how do you know the next vaccine won't just be like an oral swab or something like that? Like, how do we know the next vaccine?
Or just one shot, not two.
One shot instead of two. Although, I kind of like the two shots because you got two shoulders. So you should...
No, what if they do the same shoulder?
I'm not letting them do that. I'm not letting them do that. But here's the thing. Ready? People don't realize, Morty, that's not just 95% effective because a lot of people, there's this anti-vax movement and they don't realize this. It's not just about avoiding disease. That's something a lot of people talk about. A big issue is also making people have less severe disease. And I think that's one of the big things. Like, we forget in New York because we're now under 5%. I think we're somewhere at 4-point-something% of positive infections. Whereas some states, I was reading about the Dakotas, North and South Dakota, one of them is over 50% or something like that. And you're worried about the capacity at the hospitals. And so having less severe disease for people who, that get it also make less strain on the hospitals, which has been a big overarching theme for us, that I want to know if my kid's playing soccer and he gets hurt, God forbid, playing soccer, he gets hurt, and I got to go to the hospital. I want to make sure that there's a doctor that can see him and they're not overwhelmed with COVID patients. Like, it's not just about the COVID. It's about everything going on. So a lot.
Well, I'm also going to add that it's scary for other diseases like cancer, because many cancer surgeries are considered elective. So when the hospitals have too many COVID patients, they take their doctors, their oncology surgeons, and they put them in the front line for COVID treatment, not actually cancer.
So this week, guys, just COVID alone, we're over 250,000 deaths in the USA. Over 250,000 deaths in the USA. And I don't know if you watched the special about the people in the Dakotas. There's people that are dying, Morty. I don't know if it's not just the Dakotas, but they were doing a special and they showed the Dakotas. So I don't want to just say it's the Dakotas, but they were talking about the Dakotas. And they were refusing to admit that they had COVID even right before they were getting intubated to die. They were saying it's not COVID. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a Democratic hoax. But I thought the Republicans.
Wait, these are the people that were actually dying?
Yeah.
That's what they were doing in the special. Like, they were talking to them. But they were saying it's something else. It's a hoax. But I thought, when I was listening to the Republican talking points on these, and I want to say Republican talking points, we're not talking about the Steve Schmidt and the traditional Republican Party. We're talking about more of the extreme Republican talking points. In the extreme Republican talking points, I was hearing that after the election, COVID was going to go away. And I was hearing I wasn't going to need this vaccine or any of this stuff. But what I'm seeing right now is New York City public schools closed. I'm seeing Chicago pretty closed. People are making jokes like the governor goes out to dinner, or the governor, whether it's California or New York, or the governor is going to be with his family for Thanksgiving, but we're capped and blah, 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 blah.
Or you can go to a restaurant, but you can't have your family over for dinner.
And I keep seeing 250,000 deaths, increasing statistics, going into the cold, scared, scared, scared. And then I hear Moderna. I hear Pfizer. And Moderna's saying on their side effects, here's the only side effects they're reporting. 9.7% of patients got some fatigue. Well, I'm already fatigued. I'm always a little tired. So
that's why you got to have the coffee.
8.9% had muscle pain.
And sometimes I want to be more tired.
Yeah, Morty likes a little tired. And that's why you need Lauren's alarm, Morty, because if you had Lauren's alarm, you'd be wake up. So we got
sometimes I just need a good schluff.
Oh, it was good stuff. I like it. We got 5.2% of people had joint pain. Like, we're not talking about serious side effects, if
no,
you think about it.
People aren't, dropping dead and, yeah.
So, Morty, here's what we want to talk about today, and I want to get into this. The big question that people are asking, and in fact, Northwestern University in the Northwestern Now this week asked the same question I'm asking. Their quote, here's what their Northwestern University said. Should a COVID-19 vaccine be mandated? It's by this gal, Kristen Samuelson. She publishes it on November 17th. She writes, should a COVID-19 vaccine be mandated? That's what we want to know. And I think that one of the things that a lot of people miss, Morty, is that what does mandated even mean? Are we talking about every United States citizen? Are we talking about every person in a specific state? Are we talking every person in a subset of a state? Are we talking just as a prerequisite to go to elementary school or junior high school or high school? Are we talking about as just a prerequisite to secondary school? Are we talking about just as a prerequisite to go to work? You see, mandated and required for specific activity are two totally different things. And it's a big question that Kristen Samuelson's asking. And she wrote a very good article, and I recommend people read it. They have this Dr. Tina Tan, what a great name, Dr. Tina Tan. Dina, I love in your name, Tina Tan. Whoever named you Tina, knowing your last name was Tan, perfect. You should have been a movie star. Professor of Pediatrics, Infectious Disease at Northwestern. Here's her quote that Kristen writes. At this point in time, There's little to no information about the use of these vaccines in infants and children, or in pregnant or breastfeeding women. And Lauren points out to me, originally she says to me about this, she's worried about this because we have a 1.5-year-old. Morty, you have young children too?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, I have a 7-year-old and I'm seeing everybody, you know, can everybody go back to school? Will the masks come out? You know, who's going to get vaccinated? Who's not going to get vaccinated? Will the schools require kids to get vaccinated? And it's kind of the fear on everybody's mind because people don't want to have their kids get vaccinated. So, you know, we're reading this article, and right now the vaccines have not been tested in children. So curious to see where that goes.
Well, when you say they haven't been tested in children, there is some testing in October. Maggie Fox of CNN, in October 14th said that Pfizer started testing on children 16 and 17 years old, and then they were enrolling 12 to 15-year-olds. But again, all of us have children under that 15. And, you know, a lot of people say that children don't have the same seriousness of the illness, but they do get it. And even though they don't
spread it.
Even though they don't. Yeah, that's right, Lauren. They spread it. They bring it to the other people that are going to be around. So this is an issue, too, that Maggie Fox from CNN, she points out that Pfizer's testing. I don't know what Moderna's doing, but we're still not seeing the effectiveness on people under 10. So how does that affect what's going on? And I've read, I don't know if you read this, Lauren, that to get herd immunity, we have to have a vast majority of people get it. I've read Newsday's David Olson. I don't know if you saw this from Newsday. He writes, Americans must get vaccinated to achieve herd immunity and greatly reduce the chance of transmission. But he said, it likely is at least 75% of people that need to get it. So if you take all children under 10 out and they're not getting it, how are we getting to herd immunity, Morty? So I'm very concerned about this vaccine. There's a lot of questions here. And then, Morty, I got more questions. Forgetting the mandating the entire population federally, forgetting per state, forgetting per region, forgetting to be able to go to public school, and forgetting to go to work. What happens when people have disabilities? And their disabilities make them at risk that taking the vaccine is a problem. Don't they have liberty to not get a vaccine if it's going to exacerbate an underlying issue? When we talk about
liberty, they do, and they might be protected under the American with Disabilities Act and local and state disability laws, where they would, in the employment context, they might be entitled to a reasonable accommodation.
I want to go into that. I want to know what a reasonable accommodation is, and really, really sort that out and what employers should be doing moving forward. But I want to ask you more questions. I'm just setting the stage of my questions, and you please keep commenting because, you know, a lot of people have religious beliefs. They have sincerely held religious beliefs, and they believe vaccines are against their religion. Is that another thing I should be concerned about more?
Well, yeah, someone can ask for a religious accommodation, but however, if you look in the context of the school public health laws, Governor Cuomo actually removed a religious exemption from the vaccination requirements. I know you're going to go into that, but that's what triggered in my mind when you said that.
But I want to just, and I'm glad you're bringing that up. I think you're talking about Senate Bill 2994, and that's from June 13th, 2019. But I want to point out, you said Governor Cuomo, New York State government, like it was the Senate, the Assembly, and Governor Cuomo. It wasn't like
correct.
A lot of people.
He signed it into law.
A lot of people call him King Cuomo, but it turns out he can't do whatever he wants. He needs the Senate and the Assembly to first authorize what he's doing. That's a true statement,
that
right?
That was not by executive order.
Yeah, and even these executive orders, though, like a lot of people are like this Thanksgiving executive order where you can't have more than 10 people, and you and I were discussing what happens if you have more than 10 people in your family, and I think they're talking about people outside your residence.
You got to throw a few kids out the window.
Well, there's a few.
Only half.
I like your solutions, Marty. Yeah, I like your solutions. And so what people don't
really... I would never do that. I love my kids.
You see what he says while he's being recorded? Toby, if you hear this, we'll protect you from Morty. So the thing is, though, Governor Cuomo's executive orders, he can't do whatever he wants either. The Senate and the Assembly had passed a law that gave him emergency police powers as the executive during a pandemic to allow him to issue these executive orders like the Thanksgiving thing. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not like we have a monarchy in New York State. It's that there's special exceptions to a pandemic. But so we talked about maybe disability. We said maybe religious, and you pointed out that for school children, they took away that right as an exemption in New York State. Although, again, we haven't seen any court cases about the viability of that, and we'll talk about that. But what about political beliefs? What happens if you truly believe the coronavirus is a Democratic hoax? And you're a Republican, and you don't want any Democratic poison going in your blood. Is that something that you can be able to say no? Don't you have liberty? Whatever happened to our Constitution? Doesn't our Constitution, the 5th, the 14th Amendment, don't we talk about the preamble to the Constitution, liberty and justice for all? Isn't it about that we live in a free country? Isn't it about that we shouldn't have the government tell us how to have our life? Shouldn't, even if my beliefs are ridiculous, stupid, moronic, and idiotic, shouldn't I have the right to have them? Isn't that the point of being American? Free to be an idiot?
Oh, I mean, look, Andrew. Yes, we do have a lot of liberties, but you know, people act like this is going to be the first time that our liberties have been limited. When you have, every time you drive, your liberties are limited. If you want to drive 100 miles out an hour on the highway, you can't do that. You know, then, and there's so many other ways in which governments limit our liberties. They have to have a real substantial reason for doing so. But, you know, a public health crisis, I can't even think of a more substantial reason to do so, to limit someone's liberties.
It sure makes sense to me. And I want to point out, I'm not saying that having those beliefs are stupid. I'm pointing out that the fact of living in a republic, like we have a republican form of government. It's kind of interesting. We live in a democracy with a republican form of government. What is a republican form of government? It means that we have these states and we have the federal government. And it's interesting, when we have this type of government, isn't the concept that I have freedom? And I guess what the point that Morty's bringing up and Lauren's bringing up and I'm bringing up, don't we have these conflicting values right now? Don't we have these conflicting there? It's not the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, although we've found a way to get there. We've found a way to make this political warfare. But isn't it really just an explosion when two fundamental rights that we have as a society are coming head to head? Aren't the two fundamental rights on one note that I am free with my liberty to do what I want and have the most fundamental rule of being able to make my own decisions, no matter how idiotic, about my own personal health? And then we have, on the contrast, the police powers of the state, which they kept when we formed a more perfect union of all the states, to keep all people that's living in a civilized society, to keep all people that are living in the same country, to keep all people, your neighbors, your friends, your family, to keep all people safe. And sometimes when your individual liberties affect the health and welfare of others, should there be constraint on your individual liberty, or should the individual be able to hurt thy neighbor? Is my rights, Mordecai, more fundamental than my neighbor's right to be safe from my rights? These are the questions I want you to ponder. The Leapcast will be right back. Morty, think about it. We'll be right after the break. Is the individual or society more important under our Constitution in the United States? This is the Leapcast. Have you faced discrimination in housing, at work, or at any place of public accommodation? Call the Aggressive Lawyers at Liebet Law PC to learn your legal rights at 631-878-4455. That's Liebet Law, 308 West Main Street, Suite 100, Smithtown, New York, at 631-878-4455. Or visit us on the web at liebetlaw.com, L-I-E-B, liebetlaw.com. Welcome back, welcome back. And this is the Leapcast. We're still talking about the battle, the explosion, the moment in time that we live in today, where individual liberty is at odds with living in a safe society because of a pandemic. And we were talking before the break of these two fundamental rights of a society and a citizen: individual liberty. There's nothing greater than individual liberty. But haven't you ever heard of having hepatitis A? How about hepatitis B? How about HPV? How about the flu, influenza, measles, meningitis, meningococcal, mumps, polio, shingles, tetanus, chicken pox? There's 17 vaccines. I don't know if you know this, Lauren, in New York State that are acquired vaccines. We got these vaccines, 17 of them that I could find on the Department of Health's website that we have as a society. And this is not a new topic. Like, this is, a lot of people think it's the parlor. We told you last week we joined the parlor. We leave cast on the parlor.
Leibhast hasn't actually posted anything yet.
We're scared.
I've just been a little bit of an observer.
We're gun shy. We're going to get there, though, Parler. We're there for you. But people think
Parler's not gun shy, but keep going.
People think it's the Trump. Trump did this. Trump did this. Or social media beyond Parler, the Facebook or the Twitter. This fight, this fundamental fight between liberty and societal health. It's a fundamental fight. But what people don't realize is this has been the battle of all time. This has been, Lauren, the United States Supreme Court, the highest court in the United States, the United States Supreme Court. They're going to make this decision. Are the states allowed to require immunizations? Are they allowed to do Moderna's vaccine or Pfizer's vaccine and require for everyone? Is the federal government able to do this? What about individual places like New York City is worse than Rockland County as far as we're having outbreaks. And what about requirements for schools? As Morty referenced before, how they took away in New York State last year in 2019 the right to use religious freedoms as a defense to getting a vaccine immunization to go to school. What about work? What about as a requirement for work? And we think about these things. But history just always repeats itself. Did you know that the most important questions of our day, the most important fights of our day, the most important fights that we have, here's an argument. You tell me if this sounds like today, ready? Every free man to care for his own body and health in such a way as to him seems best. Doesn't that sound like something that we should be doing today? Isn't that something that we should be doing today? Every free man, you're a free woman, Lauren. Every free man to care for his own body and health in such a way as to him seems best. Shouldn't we have that right as Americans? Don't you have that as a right as American? Well, here's what the U.S. Supreme Court said back in 1905. This is what they said in 1905 about that question. Plaintiff Jacobson. Jacobson sues Massachusetts. Why? Because there was a law in Massachusetts, Morty. There was a law in Massachusetts back in the 1900s, the early 1900s, there was a law. And the law was about vaccinations. And the city of Cambridge had a regulation about, and he lost. He didn't take the vaccine. And then he sued on constitutional grounds. And he said, every free man to care for his own body and health in such a way as to him seems best. Isn't that freedom? Isn't that liberty? Here's what the court said. But the liberty secured by the Constitution of the United States to every person within its jurisdiction does not import an absolute right in each person to be, at all times and in all circumstances, wholly freed from restraint. There are manifold restraints to which every person is necessarily subject for the common good. On any other basis, organized society cannot exist with safety to its members. Society based on the rule that each one is a law unto himself would soon be confronted with disorder and anarchy. Real liberty for all could not exist under the operation of a principle which recognizes the right of each individual person to use his own, whether in respect of his own person or his property, regardless of the injury that he may be done to others. This court, again, the U.S. Supreme Court in 1905, in the landmark case of Jacobson v. Commonwealth of Massachusetts, this court has more than once recognized it is a fundamental principle that persons and property are subject to all kinds of restraints and burdens in order to secure the general comfort, health, and prosperity of the state. Full stop, Morty. What are we hearing here from the U.S. Supreme Court? Doesn't it sound just like the arguments of today? Doesn't it sound like the world we live in today, Mr. Mordecai? Isn't this a precursor of what we're going to experience as soon as Moderna and Pfizer release their vaccine?
It 100% is. There are people that are going to start complaining that they should have religious exemptions, that they shouldn't be forced to do anything to their own bodies, and we're probably going to have a lot of legal battles.
In 1905, Morty, the court said, here's the issue. Is the statute so construed, therefore, inconsistent with the liberty which the Constitution of the United States secures to every person against deprivation by the state? Again, isn't the whole battle, if you boil down, you take out all the noise and the flags and the Trump rallies, and you take out all the fighting in the political election, take that all out. Wasn't it just really a question of the power of the state to regulate society versus individual liberty?
Yes, that's exactly that's exactly what the main issue of the case was. And the Supreme Court decided that when you have a public health crisis, like a pandemic, there is a lower standard that a state needs to meet prior to infringing upon people's liberties.
So just so we're all clear of what Morty's saying, he's saying very smart things right there. So
yeah,
I want to make sure.
Yeah, sorry. That was very.
Don't be sorry. We never apologize for being very smart. Being smart's a good thing.
I think you have to lower the smart line for everybody else.
Well, I'll do it right now. Ready? Here's what the court said to the anti-vaxxers, and then we'll go back to Morty. You said you want me to lower the smart line?
Uh-huh.
For people that are afraid of vaccines, think the vaccine's gotcha. Here's what the U.S. Supreme Court in 1905 said, directly to the anti-vaxxer argument. Those offers in the main seem to have had no purpose except to state the general theory of those of the medical profession who attach little or no value to vaccination as a means of preventing the spread of smallpox. We're now dealing with coronavirus. They were dealing with smallpox. Or who think that vaccination causes other diseases of the body. Doesn't that sound like an anti-vaxxer argument?
Oh, yes.
What everybody knows, the court must know, and therefore the state court judicially knew, as this court knows, that an opposite theory accords with the common belief and is maintained by high medical authority. Here's what they said. I'm going to translate that in English. You can always find someone who believes the opposite of the medical community. You could even find a medical person who believes the opposite of the medical community. I was having an argument with a friend of mine. He said, I have my studies too. And I've said it on this station before, and I just want to make sure everyone understands. Everyone can find a study about anything. But the question is, what is the consensus of the studies? That's called a meta-analysis. Meta-analysis. And a meta-analysis...
Smart analysis.
Yeah, and you said I was the one that was trying to be smart.
Well, I'm saying what it means, guys. Give me a break. So here's what I'm saying. A meta-analysis is a study of all the studies. And what it says is, yeah, there's going to be outliers. But what is the scientific community... observe. But you know what's interesting? The court says in Jacobson that I was just going over. They didn't even say that we need to do a meta-analysis. They said it was as clear as day. Yeah, there's some people that believe one thing, but the vast majority of people believe something else. So too bad, tough noogies, no way. Ha, 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 ha. So we go to Gallup. The Gallup polls. And so Gallup put out a poll. They did a poll, Morty.
This was in August.
It was July 20th to August 2nd. And here's what they say. 65% of Americans would get a free FDA-approved vaccine. Full stop. 65% is bigger than the 35% that said no. So the vast majority of Americans, 65 to 35.
We just hear the voices of that 35%. everywhere.
35% is not small change. No, that's a pretty large number.
No one said it doesn't have to be large.
How many people there are in this country?
Except though, Morty, if you got a 65% on your test in high school, you would have passed. And if you got a 35% on your test in high school, you would have failed. As 65 was passing, remember? So here's the thing. I'm not saying it's insignificant, but what the court in Jacobson says is that they can take, it's called, I'm going to use a smart word again, judicial notice. They can say, if it's a common belief and 65% is common, then they can accept it to be the belief. Now, I will give you some subsets of that Gallup poll just for entertainment purposes. 81% of Democrats will take it. 59% of independents will take it. What do you think? Do you think Republicans are going to be more or less than 50%? That 47% of Republicans. One of the things I thought was interesting, though, is men and women agree. They have the same percentages. They'll take it. That's 65 to 35. I thought women were going to be higher than men because men,
regardless, are you saying regardless of party?
Just overall. So 65, 35 with men and women equal, which I thought was.
The 65% worries me because if you can't vaccinate the children, then where is that? What percentage is that?
So you want to hear another one? And so I agree with you. So you say if you can't vaccinate the children, so how would that reduce the 65%? Which, and we talked about before that you need 75% anyway.
Yeah.
So if 65% would do it on their own, and you need 75%, according to Gross and Newsday, to get herd immunity, don't we need to have some sort of requirement, Morty, to get herd immunity?
There's no question. There has to be a mandate.
It's interesting you say that, Lauren, that there has to be mandates, because the New York State Bar Association, they have 70,000 members. I don't know if you know this.
And are all 70,000 members lawyers?
I don't know. I guess. I think so.
So they all have advanced.
I don't know, Lauren. Degrees. You're asking questions. I don't know.
I don't think you can be a member without being a lawyer.
I don't think that, you know. I don't know.
I don't know.
Why would you want to join the Bar Association if you weren't an attorney?
This is a question. These are the things we have to pontificate.
Okay.
Well, because maybe some people think it has nothing to do with the law. It's called a bar association.
Ha! I'm going to that association.
Get your drink on.
Yeah, okay. Man. That's like the same type of joke people go when they're like, I passed the bar, and then they were like having drinks at the bar in the meme. So anyway, here's what the Bar Association said. They had a vote, a resolution by the House of Delegates back on November 7th. And it's a recommendation that the state considers mandating a COVID-19 vaccine once there's a scientific consensus that it's safe, effective, and necessary. But here's the point that's important. They said only consider making the vaccination mandatory if vaccinations fall short of producing needed levels of population immunity. So what I just showed you from my Gallup poll, if you think about it, is that if you need 75% for population immunity, and I've seen it up to 95%. I just want you to know. But Gross from Newsday said 75%. So I like Newsday. Let's go with Gross. He says you need 75%. And only 65% of people, setting aside the fact that Lauren explains that we might not even be able to give it to kids under the 15-year threshold because there haven't been studies of that at all. Maybe that will depress 65% to like 57%. But let's assume 65%. 65% still falls short of the 75% you need, which means if you really read into the Bar Association's recommendation, based on projections, the New York State Bar Association is suggesting mandatory vaccinations. So we go back to the question of, what about my Fifth Amendment? What about my 14th Amendment? What about freedom of religion? What about my fact that I have individual liberty? And as Morty and I were discussing a second ago, Jacobson dealt with the same issues. Lauren, you did a little search of what people are saying. So people were on social media. They were talking about this. What were they saying, Lauren?
Okay, so I went to multiple social media sites. I hashtagged things and I just looked at what people are saying. There was some Facebook groups saying, are you going to vaccinate your children? A lot of people are debating this. They're going back and forth. And I saw some pretty funny responses. Not funny, but this is just the consensus. Let's say, no freaking way.
My favorite, Lauren, was there was one that said, hell no. And I think they used seven L's. I'm trying to.
Yeah. Lauren, do these people send their kids to New York public schools?
To what they call daycare. Yes, they send their kids to schools, and they need their kids to stay in school. By the way, they don't also want the kids to wear masks, and they don't also want their kids to take this vaccine.
But let's go back. What else have you learned, Lauren, from you went to, because again, what we're concerned about, I just want to set the stage for you. We need, according to Newsday's Gross, 75% of people to get the vaccine for herd immunity.
Okay.
And herd immunity means that even if you didn't get the vaccine, you'd be protected. According to the Gallup poll, we're seeing a 65-35% split. According to the New York State Bar Association, and this is just a resolution or a suggestion, they're suggesting mandatory vaccines if we don't get enough voluntary vaccines to get herd immunity. And as Morty pointed out, I don't know if you noticed his, he's smart again, he does smart stuff. He asked if they were going to school because he knows that there's a difference between mandating for everyone in the United States, this nonsense when people are like, Biden's going to do it. And I'm saying it's nonsense because that really hasn't been tested on the whether the U.S. can do it. The Jacobson cases of whether an individual state or a subset of the state under the state's inherent police powers can require someone to take a vaccine. But then Morty's pointing out is forgetting all citizens, there's difference for entering a public school. Is that what you were saying, Morty?
Correct. Yeah, because there's, as you know, there's public health laws now on the books in New York that kids going to public and private schools have to get certain vaccinations.
And just so we're crystal clear, when you're saying that there's public health laws on the books in New York, there's a law for secondary school, there's a law for primary school and the public health law, and you can't go into a public school unless you got these.
Correct.
And so what Lauren's saying is, assuming
the only exemption is obviously medically related. There's no non-medical exemption anymore.
And what Lauren's saying though is assuming that they didn't add to our list of the vaccines that are required that I went over before. Assuming they didn't add to that list and they said, parents, it's up to you for your kids.
Yeah, and this is assuming that there's a vaccine for kids, by the way. This was a local Facebook moms group, and I would say about 95% of people in that group who voiced their opinion said absolutely no. So that was an interesting little sample study for me to see that. I mean, maybe the people that would do the vaccine wouldn't actually post on Facebook.
Okay, so let's go some more of the no. What else did you learn from your social media searching? Because you said you went on Facebook. You also went on...
Ooh, I went on Parler.
So tell me about what we learned on Parler.
Okay. Let's see. What did I learn on Parler? I learned that 2020 is not about the virus. It's an economic terrorism and fraud. So that's how they were reacting to the vaccine. I learned that I will never trust science from multi-billion dollar organizations that knowingly cause harm for money. So a lot of people think that the drug companies are just making you take this vaccine so that they can make more money. Some people said no test, no vaccine, no microchip, and this COVID scam now. This is all on Parler. How about make way for the vaccine death of 2021? So there are people that do think that there's going to be a wave of now deaths. And somebody wrote, they want to genetically modify us with the COVID-19 vaccine. So this was just a lot of reactions to the vaccine. So it kind of scared me that people think this way.
So let's go back to the mandated thing, because clearly, as we're getting what people are thinking, it's not going to get to the immunity level. And New York State Bar Association, not that they have any power, but they passed a resolution suggesting, and we know when it came to smallpox, there was mandatory vaccination in Cambridge and Massachusetts. We also know that in the Cambridge case, they actually cite to a New York case, V. Mister or something like that, V. White, which is a high court, the highest court in New York State. It was a case that they did about public school children, and that was a case that said that they could require vaccinations. We know in this case in Massachusetts, too, interestingly enough, that they looked, Morty, they looked to sanitation laws, and they said, remember when Morty was talking about your individual liberty about speed and stuff like that? You don't have a right to leave your trash outside either. There's rules about how we're going to have garbage pickup, and there's rules about flushing the toilet. And you all might be thinking I'm joking, but just imagine what they would do with the fecal matter in New York City if we didn't have a public health system. Just you worry about coronavirus? No, I'm telling you. I watched a special.
Drinking water.
I watched a special about New York City some years ago. Here's my background. I have a master's in public health. I've said it before. I find this fascinating. Think about how they get rid of the fecal matter in New York City and what type of disease we would have in New York City. I only say New York City because it's the biggest, but we could have the same thing in Chicago or LA or somewhere like that. How do you, if you don't have laws to deal, and you say drinking water, public health means that, hey, it's not about your individual liberty. Your individual liberty is that you have a right to live in a safe society, and all your other individual liberties take a bottom seat under that. And Morty mentioned before, he said, there's a difference when you're in a public health pandemic emergency. Didn't you say that, Morty, about how the constitutional understanding of curtailments of liberty goes versus a normal day? So it's not that we're saying, hey, liberty should go away. We're in a global pandemic. Person, like the thing of it is that normally we have this thing called strict scrutiny. Is that what you're getting at, Morty?
Yes.
And tell
in
me-
order to, normally to curtail somebody's government interest to liberty, someone's individual interest of exercising his right to liberty, the government has to meet a very high standard prior to being able to curtail it. And that standard is called strict scrutiny.
And it's very hard to pass that. The challenge to action must be narrowly tailored to promote a compelling government interest. It must and use the least restrictive means to achieve it. It's a hard thing to do. So it's not like we're taking your rights away. And when I say where, I mean the government. But what
they take liberties very seriously. It's only in situations like this where the stand, like a global health pandemic, which happens once a century, that the standard is lower because we're in a public health pandemic.
So, Morty, the federal courts in the Northern District of New York actually dealt with this issue that we're talking about right now already in the coronavirus pandemic in a case called Page v. Cuomo. They dealt with it, and the question before the court was about the individual liberty of a 14-day quarantine rule when you traveled out of state. And the court in that case, here's what they said. They said, you know, strict scrutiny is one thing, but when you're faced with a society-threatening epidemic, a state may implement emergency measures that curtail constitutional rights, not based on strict scrutiny, but instead, so long as the measures have at least some real or substantial relation to the public health crisis and are not beyond all question, a plain, palpable invasion of rights secured by the fundamental law. Again, what does that mean in English? It means that the state is going to get deference. The state is going to be able to make decisions. Why we elected our people. Didn't you elect your senators? Didn't you just do that? We elected our assembly people. Didn't you just do that? We elect our governor. You may not like him, but he was elected. You might not like your assemblyman. Elected. And when we elect them to make decisions for society as a whole in a pandemic. And we're saying to them, you're able to curtail our fundamental rights. And so in this case, and by the way, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court has also said that Jacobson's right. Your liberty rights outside of a pandemic are not going to be affected. It's very hard for the government to take away your rights. But when you're in a pandemic, there's a different lower standard. And that's what we learned from Page v. Cuomo and Jacobson v. Commonwealth. And what we learned, Morty, and Morty keeps saying it, is there's exceptions to that. There's limitations to that. Aren't there limitations to that, Morty?
Yeah. I mean, if somebody has a medical issue and it gets certified by a doctor that the vaccine could negatively affect their health, then they'll be exempt.
So what you need to know is that you need to pay attention to the laws of your state. If your state has laws, it's likely that they're going to have different laws for each individual region. Assuming they don't have a law, an employer, according to the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, an employer can have a mandatory vaccine requirement. However, they have to have exceptions. They have to have exceptions for people with medical issues. And they have to have a clear policy, Morty. And they have to know how to deal with these issues. Because as they said in the Jacobson case, they actually said this, Morty. They said they're not going to address speculative issues. If Lauren's cousin's friend's sister's roommate from college once had an issue from a vaccine. You like my Spaceballs reference? If they had an issue from a vaccine, that's not about Lauren. But if Lauren saw her physician and her physician says, you have an underlying medical condition and you shouldn't get a vaccine, then no one's going to force you to get one. But mere fear, speculation, that's not enough to jeopardize all of everyone else's rights in these United States to stay safe and free from a pandemic that is changing our way of life. I started off today telling you that if 95% of the population, this is what the head of the World Health Organization, one of the heads in Europe said, if 95% instead of 60% would wear a mask, we wouldn't have to be closed down in quarantines. My business depends on us being open. Your business depends on us being open. Your Thanksgiving depends on us being open. So let's hope that Moderna, Pfizer, let's hope that these vaccines are going to go out. Let's hope that people will take them. But Lauren's reading of Facebook and Parler is not making us feel warm and fuzzy.
No.
But let's do this. When our government decides that we have to do it, let's not go after the government people who made the decision. Say, you're a hypocrite. You're stupid. You break the law. You break the law. Everyone's a hypocrite. Everyone's an idiot. And everyone does dumb things. But if we look at society, you're perfect, Lauren. Thanks. If we look at society as a whole, let's together, each of us, understand that our liberty has its limits. And the limits are when we start hurting someone else. This has been the Leapcast. Have a great week.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.